Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 29th on the West Coast, now January the 30th, 2010, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Well, as fate would have it, I spent most of the day working on getting up many of my news archives on my website. So those that have been looking for certain stories that have been posted there over the past couple of years can peruse them at their leisure, maybe even go back and compare what's being said today to what has been put in writing by a variety of journalists around the world in regard to the world's true economic situation, and in particular that of the United States of America. The relationship of false flag events that we've endured over the many years since massive corruption has been taking place at the highest levels of government, including the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury, and the Wall Street banks and the brokerage firms and insurance companies, on and on and on a worldwide basis. In fact, there's this international cabal of crooks that have been just stealing and robbing their nations blind, in particular the United States of America, because this is the last bastion of any freedom in the world. And if they can bring this country to its knees, then any other country that is hanging by a thread will just give up. And how do we fight such corruption? Well, as we have been on many shows, by bringing forth the truth. That is what they do not want us to know. That is why we have the educational system we have. That is why we have corrupt religious organizations that kowtow to government. That is why you're not getting the truth where you think you're getting your spiritual food. You're just being hoodwinked and brainwashed. We have an educational system that teaches us false history. Certainly, I'm finding that out, and my readers of my website and my articles published in the Idaho Observer are finding that out. And though I don't ask anyone to believe what I say, the proof is in the pudding. The facts certainly disclose the truth behind what I'm talking about and what we're going to discuss tonight. While the world is still shaking and quaking in their boots over what has been occurring in Haiti, we're not being told the truth. We had this State of the Onion address. We're going to peel back some layers because I deduced very correctly that we heard nothing but a pack of lies from the long-legged Mac Daddy a couple of nights ago. And most of the nation knew that. Those that are awake, those that aren't brainwashed, they knew they were being lied to. We're told the economy is picking up. Oh, it's picking up. We're going to talk about how much it's picking up with tonight's guest. This is a topic with which he is familiar on the basis of his professional career as a scientist, as an inventor, an author, a lecturer, and a teacher, a regular Friday night guest, and my co-host, and our resident science advisor, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hey, Don. Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
It's nice to have you with me. Jim, I know that you have some really important information to share, and it's quite simple. It's not very complex, but it underscores things I've been writing and many other people have been deducing that's going on in the world. You got some information this evening, and you don't have to bring it up right at this moment if you don't feel comfortable doing that, but we will get to it. But what is your general take on what's happening around the world since we talked last week?
Well, to be honest with you, I've been buried in a lot of interesting mathematics problems most of the week, and then I don't know if you know it or not, but out here we got clobbered with 2 days of ice and snow, and so, you know, I've been pretty much out of the loop for the last 3 days. But tonight, and I don't have any problem talking about it, I got a very interesting phone call from a very dear friend of mine who's been living in China for quite some time. He's a fellow research scientist and a very capable man. And he is in touch with funding sources that have promised to assist him in his research when the time comes. And he checks with them pretty regularly. And as I understand, they're highly placed. I don't know exactly who they are. But he told me some very illuminating things tonight, and I mentioned it to you before the show, and I guess it was a mutual choice to deliver the information publicly. But the IMF now reports that their audit of the Federal Reserve System and the U.S. Treasury is now complete. They had several plane loads of accountants and CPAs and God only knows who else scouring through the files in Washington for the last month and a half. And the report reveals that the U.S. has a debt-to-GNP ratio of approximately 326%, which classifies us now as a officially as a third world country. So that means to say that our debt exceeds our GNP by 326%. And I understand, Don, that you took this information and did some pencil pushing of your own to come up with some hard numbers. I'd like to hear about that.
Yes, I'll disclose that figure. Actually, I did it in my head and kind of rapidly, but I did put it into a calculator, and of course you've got to add a truckload of zeros to the end of the number. Let me preface that information by making the remark or reminding the listening audience that I have been talking about this very thing on Evident Footprints for 2.5 years plus. Beginning in June of 2007, I began talking about it. Actually wrote about it in January of 2007. That first article that I wrote about Wantagate was published in January of 2007. And it occurred to me by, September of 2008, that there were at least $667 trillion in bogus derivatives and hedge funds on the market. And as time went on, I could see that the number was more realistically in the neighborhood of $4 to $5 quadrillion. Now, taking today's gross national product, or the GNP, which is estimated at $14.3 trillion annually, multiplying that times 326, I get $4,661,800,000,000,000. This is in the red. This is debt. And they just told us a couple of nights ago, the long-legged Mac Daddy said the economy is looking up. And he's going to take $30 billion of the money that was given to the banks and make it available to students who want to go to college. And I said that very night, there is no money to give. There is no money. They've stolen it. They've stolen the gold. They've stolen the silver. They've stolen all of the precious metals, the minerals, the oil, the food, the water, everything, the land, the homes of people. It's been nothing but organized crime. And this little number, Jim, that you just gave, this one little sentence underscores the whole thing. Now, how do you suppose that information traveled all the way to China and our media didn't utter a peep about this? Well, we know we have a corrupt media. We know the media is in a conspiracy, has been bribed and or threatened not to disclose any of the truth about what's going on in Washington or New York or internationally. And I have been reporting, and my listening audience, if you doubt this, go back and listen to any of the archives. We've talked about this on the show many a night, talking about the audit going on, talking about plane loads of people coming into the country from other nations with the express purpose of auditing the books. Washington puts on this dog and pony show for us, telling us how we need to have an audit of the Federal Reserve. It was going on. It was going on. And they were raiding the sovereign funds. These are private funds that people invested in many years ago, expecting some kind of a return. Now, who that is very much a secret, just like all this corruption we're talking about. But I don't mean to sound like I'm going on a rant, Jim. I'm just underscoring we have talked about this, you and I, as well as many of my other guests on the show over the past 2.5 years plus. We've talked about this very topic.
Well, I remember.
Yeah, how much longer do you think the mainstream media is going to try to get away with this?
Oh, I think that they would try to get away with it indefinitely, but you know what? I don't think that's going to happen. Let me finish announcing the second half of this interesting tidbit of information.
Please do. Please do, and I'll button up.
Well, no, you don't have to button up. As a matter of fact, I'm really interested in what you're going to have to say when I relate this, but the second tidbit of information, which is pretty amazing, also from the IMF and related organizations, states that any form of financial assistance from the world of financial organizations to the United States, and this is not of the ilk that we have been getting earfuls about lately, but this is direct assistance to prevent the country from going down the drain, will not be rendered until official austerity programs are initiated by the U.S., which means things like Medicare, welfare, and a whole host of other ridiculous giveaway programs must first cease to be. Now, the media can keep back all the information they want, but if that dictate ever comes to be reality, I am sure that the American people will get the message that something is desperately wrong.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, have you said everything you want to say about that, or do you have more?
Well, there's more, but there's not about that in particular. But
okay.
We can certainly pick up on it in another few minutes, no problem.
Okay. We've reported on this show $47 trillion lien placed on the United States, specifically on the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve. I believe the date, if I recall, was December the 16th. This was through the World Court. The lien was granted to China. They placed this lien and exercised the lien on January 11th, 2010. Now, let's recall September 10th, 2001. Donald Rumsfeld is sitting before Congress testifying that $2.3 trillion was lost at the Pentagon. And I I described how massive that money would be if you stacked it up on pallets. You couldn't see the horizon. You couldn't see skyscrapers around you. That's how much money, that's how much space that money would take if it was stacked up on pallets. It would take 31,710 years to count $1 trillion. And we're talking about $2.3 trillion, and the next day we had 9/11. We had a false flag event. And it wasn't conducted by some towel-headed camel jockeys hiding in caves in Afghanistan. I'll say that. Now, the day after this lien was actually exercised upon the Federal Reserve and on the U.S. Treasury, we had Haiti. We had alleged earthquakes that we know consisted of underground or underwater explosions, as well as HAARP energy weapons targeted at the buildings. Did no damage to the roads. Killed possibly several hundred thousand people, destroyed most of the buildings on one end, one-third of an island, doing no damage to the neighboring two-thirds of the island to the east, where the Dominican Republic is. So happens that Haiti harbors literally the cables, the transatlantic and the South American banking cables, also those that go to Africa and Europe. And these countries are all involved in all those regions in this money laundering and this embezzlement, this hypothecation of assets while they're busy stealing our money and trying to move it around to offshore accounts, collecting trillions of dollars in interest, tax-free, hiding the money, stealing the money, trying to retrieve it, getting caught over and over again, and they ask for money. We had Clinton on the radio and on TV. Send us money. Send us anything you got. Send us cash. Even if it's a dollar. And they're asking for $10 a person. And they're setting up a 501c3 organization to collect money from people all over the world so they can steal that. They sent 5,000 troops to Haiti, then they sent 11,000, and it's up to 19,000. Sounds like a military coup to me. I don't know about you, Jim.
It's certainly more force than is necessary to get the real job done. And from what I understand, there hasn't been a whole lot of help to the people of that region to begin with.
That is absolutely correct. You are correct. And what help there has been, and we've talked about this on many a show, the United Galactic Federation has been involved in saving lives there and providing aid to the people. All CNN's been able to show is two bags of some kind of grain thrown over a guy's shoulder and another guy's head. And that's supposed to tell us that everybody's receiving food. These are just photo ops for more propaganda. And people in this country should absolutely be incensed over this news, Jim. And I felt it was important enough that we should discuss it tonight. We didn't plan this at all, did we?
No, I think I called you, 15, 20 minutes before the show?
Yeah. All I'm saying is we're winging this, but we've got the background information. I've been working all day and putting up bank corruption and insurance company corruption, government corruption, treasury corruption, Federal Reserve corruption articles. 2 years worth I've put up today. And I'm reading them while I'm putting them up on my website. And I've seen all this come to pass. Things that journalist Christopher Story predicted. It's coming to pass. His figures were accurate. The figures that I came up with were accurate. The ones that Walter Burian, who's been on this show a couple of times, has been very accurate. Who the corrupt banks are, the fact that they're murdering people to keep them from talking. All around the world this is going on, not just in this country. Is it any surprise when this government's been infiltrated by foreign agents who've lied from day one about who they are and where they're from? Just like what we have today. So, don't mean to go on a rant, just underscoring some key points.
Well, I don't take it as a rant. I mean, you're just emphasizing, you know, the most prominent issues in the subject that we brought up. Nothing wrong with that. But as long as you've opened that door, considering the false flag events and what have you, there's another little worthwhile piece of information that's now a good time to deliver, and it also came from the same source, and that is that with the exception of England, Germany, and a few third world countries, the rest of the globe now considers the United States government as the leading terrorist organization on the planet. And that's something that should disturb every American. Because even if it weren't true, you know, we should certainly be concerned about having an image of that type. You know, this is a perfect time, too, Don, for listeners to pick up the phone and tell us what they're thinking. I wish we had more people like the gentleman last week from South Carolina, who not only called in and gave us a piece of his mind, but also reported the attitude and the feelings of his neighbors and people from his area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is stuff that every American should be concerned about. You know, it's okay to turn off the TV and put the beer back in the fridge. You know, this is important stuff. The world is too tightly knit now as a global community for us to have this type of attitude. I mean, if Americans really understood the picture, you know, China is the most powerful nation on earth right now next to Russia. And they've got the gold, they've got incredible industrial power that we used to have, but naturally that was all farmed out and sold away. And the picture is radically changing. If we don't get on the stick and realize what the true situation is, you know, we're all going to be in real dire straits here in this country. And once it gets to the point where, you know, it's at rock bottom, there isn't going to be anything to turn around. You're just going to be saddled with debt that this government has put on the people through their fraudulent activities. And you can bet that the kind of money that's in the quadrillions that we mentioned earlier will not be paid off for 1,000 years. I mean, there are some calculations we could do, Don, just, you know, based on a population of 250 million people, or even make it 300 million if you want to be all-inclusive about it, and just divide that into the figure that you came up with and see just how much money per capita would be owed. And then divide that by an average lifespan of, let's say, 70 years, and that'll tell you how many generations it would take to pay down this debt. And, of course, the debt continues to accumulate, too, at an exponential rate, which just means that without even putting pen to paper, you can bet that it'll just never be paid. You'll have slavery in perpetuity.
Yeah, you wouldn't even want to hear the number. I mean, I could divide that number on my calculator by 0.3, and it would be an amount in the millions, over $15.5 million a person.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
With the average income, you know, being what it is, it'll never be paid.
That's if it's paid off right now, you see. without accumulating any interest. Let me ask you, why should we be obligated to pay that?
Well, I've often brought that up. I mean, it's just another example of the kind of fraud that has been placed upon the American people. If you take any other company in the world, I don't care who they are, General Motors, Sony, and any one of them, if they ran into a financial problem, they can't turn around and put their debt on other people. It's considered completely illegal. It would never be allowed. But the corporate United States of America has gotten away with it, and they've gotten away with it for, I would say, at least 100 years. Of course, nothing compares to what they've done in the last 25 to 30 years. And America is just being raped of all its wealth, as you pointed out earlier. I mean, it isn't just the hypothecation that's used in the mortgages. We went into that whole thing on one show. I don't think anybody believed it, but that's an enormous number. It's also all of the taxes that are illegal. It's also the fact that nobody owns any property. It's also the fact that the basic essence is taken out of food and sold separately, so that you're essentially eating a lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You have no natural sustenance to uphold the body, and then people wonder why they come down with all these bizarre diseases. And then, of course, there's all the problems with the water and the air. And all of this is designed not only to comb the wealth out of the country, but also to kill off as many people as possible, because the elite feel that there's not enough natural resources to go around, poor fellows.
Yeah. You know, we did a show last night with Dr. Mike Castle where we sort of went off into a focus on the issue of growing your own food and the fact that you can't even buy food with the nutrients in it that the human body requires to just maintain an equilibrium. Forget about achieving health. You've got to overcome all the toxicity and disease that we've been subjected to for hundreds of years now, for over 230 years.
Well, I can tell you something interesting. The last time that I was in Japan on business, I was introduced to a herbal drink that they have over there. I forget the name of it. But it is such an incredible detox agent that if you drink 3 cups of this tea, it is a form of tea, in one day, the following day you'll have a fever, and then for the next, and you'll also have an enormous amount of elimination, which is fine. And then for the next 4 or 5 days, you'll smell like a corpse. I mean, the odor is just unbearable. You have to wash, constantly just to stand your own smell. I tried it, so I'm telling you from experience. And the thing that's interesting about that is that what's coming out of you through your pores and through, the skin, the urination, the defecation, is all stuff which normally just sits around in the fat of your body, in the muscle tissue, and eventually accumulates to the point where it causes a breakdown of your body. And this isn't going on just in Japan. They have a diet that's actually much better than ours, and they still have these results. I would love to see that tea served to people that frequent some of the fast food places here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
Only God knows what the result of that would be.
we'd have to walk around with gas masks, wouldn't we?
Probably. But the point is that we are so far from the requirements that nature, foresaw when we evolved as human beings, that it's no wonder we live as long as we do. You know, diseases and all that taken into account. It's really amazing. And if you stop and put it all together, you can say to yourself, well, wait a minute. Let's say the average lifespan is now pushing 75 or 80. I don't know exactly what the official number is. And that's with the toxic food, the toxic air and water, and the zero nutriment level that's in all the junk that we eat, and all the other problems having to do with stress and, you know, bacteria that's floating around everywhere and everything else. If you were to subtract all of that out of the picture and supply the same human beings with high-quality, naturally grown food, the way nature intended, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you lived 400 or 500 years.
Well,
without doing anything special.
You made a statement totally in sync with what I was about to respond with. And that is that there are those that are alive in other realms and in our vicinity who have surpassed the age of 500 and have the wisdom that goes along with being that old, too. We're not talking about people that are sitting in a rest home someplace. These people are flying in ships, and they're integrating with people from hundreds and hundreds of other planets and are taking our dilemma into consideration and have actually come to help us, to assist us. And still, the majority are like walking dead. You know, these figures that they come up with, the lifespan of the average man or the average woman, these don't come out of tracking how long people live as a result of being healthy beings. They're determining how long we can withstand the poisoning that we undergo. And it's not just on a physical level, it's on a mental level. All designed to cut us off from our true source, our spirituality, and to separate us or disconnect us from the Creator and the natural things in the universe. It's quite simple. I mean, if you think about that for a moment, it makes all the sense in the world. It certainly makes more sense than anything they tell us in the medical community, or that they tell us in their political speeches.
Well, I don't even want to go into that because you know how I feel about politics. And as far as the medical community is concerned, I'm really appalled with how little they really know about medical diagnostics. I mean, nowadays it's, oh yeah, that looks similar to something I treated the other day. Here, try this pill. I mean, it's really getting to the point where it's absurd. I was talking to a woman just the other day who used to be a registered nurse, and she gave up her profession in total disgust and decided to become a herbalist. And she now has been very successful in this field, helping people privately to overcome all kinds of diseases and problems that the medical community claims that there's no cure for. And I mean, and there, she's a relatively young woman. I think she's 46, 44, something like that. And she's just one. But at least she had the intelligence and the intestinal fortitude, you know, not only to recognize the problem, but to divorce herself from it and say, hey, you know what? Well, I can do a better job than they do.
Yeah.
And we need more of that.
Yes, we do. We do.
I can still remember, I think it's like 6 years now or 7 years ago, my favorite uncle, it wasn't really my uncle, it was my dad's cousin, but we always called him an uncle. And he actually worked for a very large pharmaceutical company developing vitamins and, you know, supplements of that sort that they sell. So he was a biochemist, you know, so he wasn't a schmo. Anyway, he comes down with lung cancer. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, I can put you in touch with people that can help you. And I said, please don't fool around with this. You know, do something now while it's still possible. Do not get radiation treatment. Do not get any of the other chemical treatments that they normally put you through, like chemo and such. And he said, oh, no. He said, I have the best oncologists in the world at my disposal. He said, my doctor is A number one. And he said, I know he knows exactly what he's doing, and I feel 100% safe in his care. And he was dead in 3 months.
So he felt safe for 3 months anyway.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is the typical attitude that people have. They're so brainwashed into believing that the system is there for them. Well, it is there for them, but with the opposite polarity as far as the outcome is concerned. It's not there to help you. It's there to rape you.
Yes. Yes.
I remember reading statistics about 3 years ago, Don, just before you and I got together, that were released by the, what the heck is the name of that government office that does all of the forecasting on different businesses and stuff like that. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, and it basically was addressing the medical industry, and in particular, the category of cancer medicine, and it's stated right there in black and white on government stationery that the average cancer patient is expected to produce an income for the medical industry of $350,000 from the time of diagnosis to the time of death. It didn't say till the time of recovery, it said to the time of death.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah,
I mean, these rotten SOBs have it down to the science just like the insurance industry does.
Absolutely. And they have hedge funds on that, too, you see. That money is pooled. That money is forecasted, hypothecated as a reality, as if it actually exists. It's all made out of thin air. What they put up as collateral are people's properties, people's possessions. And anything else they can dream up. You know, there's a cancer institute, we'll call it. I won't name it. But they run an ad on television. If you read the fine print at the bottom of the ad, in fact, they even show a statistic. 90% of the people that go through their treatment program survive cancer for 5 years. So you're going to go into a 30-year house payment in 5 years, in addition to your house payment. Add, you know, we're talking about just $100,000 to $110,000 home. You know, how do you even calculate the value of a home anymore when people can't even live in it? It has no value when it's financed from thin air and it's taxed from thin air. And all the business it generates, all the requirements people have to meet to uphold a standard that nobody really cares about other than just getting the money. you know, the amount of chicanery behind their little Kabbalistic practices of accumulating wealth off of anything that moves is beyond comprehension to most people. It's way past their pay grade, that's for sure. But they're going to have to take an interest in it, because there'll be a time if we do nothing about it, if people don't pay attention and realize, become aware, become conscious and responsible to themselves, if to no one else, if not to their families, their loved ones, or their friends, and their associates, at least to themselves, to understand what is really going on.
Well, I think they're going to be made to see it one way or another, either by a total collapse of this country, or perhaps, which is what I would like to see, that sooner or later there's going to be official announcements made somehow, you know, to inform the U.S. population about what's going on. But the last tidbit of information that was relayed to me by my friend earlier this evening has to do with the fact that his determination of what's going on, having been in touch with these people for the last couple of years and putting the facts together, is that there will always be a financial elite of some sort, somewhere. I mean, that's just the way it is. Somebody's always going to have the money. But the thing that's interesting, which I think is a positive indication that there's hope for the planet, is the fact that the majority of these wealthy families have come to the amazing conclusion that they can actually make more money by setting everything right and allowing people to become wealthy, because it affects everything, their longevity, their health, their well-being, you know, the way they apply their life energies, everything, on and on and on. And so the new world powers that are now taking charge of what's going on have this point of view. And even if they are the new financial masters, if they really allow this type of latitude for the rest of humanity, it'll make a quantum change in the level of existence on this planet.
Sure.
The negative part of it is that you have countries like Germany, Britain, and of course the U.S. that don't want to yield to this change, because those people are, those organizations are so embedded, they're like Alabama ticks. They don't want to let go. They want to suck every possible drop of blood out of the host.
Well, in the nutshell, what you're saying is that, you know, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but, you know, you're somehow going to talk sense into a demon that's hell-bent on destroying anything that's alive, you know, as if it's, if as if it can survive as the sole vampire on the planet. Jim, your primal scream for a telephone call was heard. We have Rodney on the phone. Rodney, welcome to Ebony Footprints.
Good evening, gentlemen. I talked to some more neighbors. When they say we owe them, I had this discussion with the neighbors, and I said, well, let me ask you this question. I don't owe them nothing. And they looked at me, and I said, I didn't sign a contract. I didn't use a credit card. I didn't accept any responsibility for their stupidity or their misdoings or their bad investments. Hey, suck wind, people. I'm not paying for it. I'm not going to work an extra job, and you're not going to take any more away from me. Have I made myself clear? Your comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, the amazing thing is that more people don't have your attitude. I mean, I mentioned earlier, what other corporation would have the gall to put their personally acquired debt out onto the public? It would never be stood for if that was done by Westinghouse or GE or any of the other big companies floating around. But yet, just one corporation that happens to have the name of the United States, Inc., gets away with it.
Okay, Jim, I'm sure you heard this phrase, and I'm teaching people as I tell them with what my attitude is. And I said, the answer when they tell you, you have to pay this or you owe this, you look at them with a serious, straight face, and you tell them the same thing that the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and all the rest of those people have it in our little card. It says KMA. I even inscribed it on my driver's license. And the woman said, what's that? And I said, you'll find out in the future what it's for. It's on my license. I put it on there next to my signature. I've used that expression since I was a very young child, because people back then were already warning me of what was coming. It might be somebody that you were talking about earlier, the Galactic people. I think I might have met some of them and just don't know it.
Oh, quite possible, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not afraid of these scumbags. I'm not intimidated by them. I don't care about them. Now, to add to it, last night I had the displeasure of hearing preacher Lindsey Williams. Well, I used to have respect for the man. I don't anymore. He came on Jeff's show last night going, oh, I've got all this information. I've got all this information. He wasted 20 minutes telling how much information he had and didn't say a damn thing. And then he says, I went in the studio, and I've got all these DVDs to tell you. This man finally said, I'm too old. I don't care anymore. Tell him everything. And then he did tell us a few things. Well, you're not going to have not enough food. Okay, now listen to how he said it. You're not going to have, you'll have plenty of food in stores, but you won't be able to afford it because they're going to devalue the money. Hey, Lindsey, the dollar was worth 8 cents in 1998? The dollar is not worth nothing now. You think we're all this stupid? Oh, and I didn't even call for it, because I got sucked into his DVDs once before. What a bunch of crap. And I have them.
Yeah. Rodney, do you get the feeling that he's just being fed information to put it out there?
Personally,
he might very well believe that the information is accurate, okay? Or they're just telling him what they're planning on doing, and,
they're using him, and he's making money. But they're using him for disinformation, and, I told you how the oil was going to do. Yeah, we know where you play with it. You play with all this garbage. And then he says last night, there's not going to be an open basket. Well, I know who let that one out back in 05 or 06 about the oil contracts. We're still going to use the dollar. No, you're not going to use the Federal Reserve dollars, people. I already know that's coming. They're dead. Better get ready for it. There's going to be a new currency, period. And the Federal Reserve and the IRS is going down the toilet very soon. Because once you idiots declare martial law, the Constitution's already gone. Once you declare martial law, do you think I'm paying taxes? I'm going to use your famous three letters, KMA. I'm not going to do it. Now, you're going to lock us all up? You can't round us all up, you idiot. You're going to spray us with some type of horrible stuff? Guess what, when I get sick, guess where I'm heading for? Where you're at. And I'm going to infect you and you won't know it's me coming. Now, I don't mean me personally. I'm just telling you how people think. You really want to screw with all the rats and cockroaches in this world? Because that's what you consider us. Well, guess what happens with rats and cockroaches? Over a long period of time, they build up a big immune system to everything you do to them. And then all of a sudden they say, it's time to bite. And now we're going to infect you. We're going to find you, seek you out, and step on you.
Well, I mean, if I didn't know better, I'd say you were pretty ticked off tonight.
How's this? Everybody's worried about the HARP and the Gwen Towers.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have fun, people? I'll tell you how to have fun. Go around and look for every cell phone tower. Ha ha. Those are the Gwen Towers. And pay close attention and study them really, really good. So when they take everything away from you, one of you can get away with a pair of bolt cutters and maybe some whatever you can come up with. Start taking them down. Cut the guide wires. They come down real easy. And there's a big box sitting next to them. Destroy it. You destroy their communications. You destroy all their elf waves. You take out every tower they have. Too bad. So sad. You're screwed. Any more ideas, gentlemen? Your turn. Yeah, I'm pissed.
Well, Jim, go ahead.
The real question is, how many other Americans feel as you do? I really wish that there was some way we could get the pulse on that.
Jim, I will answer it this way. There's a lot. They're just not talking. They're waiting. It's kind of like the old saying, the Sun Tzu Art of War. Also, the Communist Manifesto, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. You'd be surprised how many people have read all this stuff. And I've discussed it with them. And I said, well, what do we do? And he says, there's nothing we can do until they make their next move. And he says, you'll know when the right time comes. He says, because when the S hits the fan, he says, you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. And he says, you go for everything you can at one time and hope that God you make it through it. Now, you take out 100 of these Gwen Towers all over the country real quick. You don't think they're not going to get attention? Hey, how about the people that are going to keep an eye on where the chemtrail planes have to sit in the tarmac? You better watch your asses, people, because somebody's looking at you like you're looking at us. And one day one of those planes ain't going to make it back home. And then we're going to start with one, and then we're going to start with two. And if you think you're very high and we can't get you, guess again. Because there are weapons out there that can disintegrate your ass. Let's see if I'm kidding. Your comment?
Well, Rodney, I appreciate your call. We got to move on, but certainly your sentiments are something for everyone to consider. I'm sure there are a lot of people listening that are heartened to hear somebody is not fearful. Somebody is standing on their feet and willing to face whatever they want to throw at us.
We've got to do something, Don, because we can't have any more of these stinking Hades and the rest of the crap they're doing. When I talked to my other neighbor, he lives in a different part of the country part of the year. He took tomato plants there, and he said they got some kind of blight and everything. It was interesting that your guest said exactly what the blight was last night and what's like, and I told him that. I said, chemtrails. I said, what do you expect? I said, the plants are all dying. I'm watching acres and acres of pulpwood falling over.
Yes, yes.
Why?
There's no doubt about what's going on. And it's going to affect people at some point. Like you said, there'll come that moment where people are not going to be able to turn away and pretend that these things aren't happening. When it hits them, it has to hit them the right way.
Well, that's the problem, Don. I know, I apologize for getting so on it, but I am trying to get the point across. As people wake up, take your head out of your backside, get rid of your optorectitis, because it's not going to happen. It's already here.
Yeah.
And the next step is, if the only thing that Lindsey Williams said that was true last night was what he said when he tried to get people's attention to the health bill, and if the people read in the health care bill that so far hasn't passed, if you read in there how bad it is, it's everything. It's gun confiscation, it's gun control, it's genocide. It's the key to the New World Order. If that passes, people, take your head out of your ass, lock and load, because you don't have any more time. The minute that passes, you're screwed. Go read it for yourself. And with that, I bid you good night, and I'll listen to you off the air. Good night,
okay.
Gentlemen.
You, good night, Rodney. You take care. Well, Jim, you got a chance to read the pulse of some of our listeners, at least one.
Yeah, I like Rodney. I think he should call in regularly and give us, you know, a report from his sector, if you will, and it actually should set the trend for other people, you know. If he's calling in from that part of the country, then it would be nice to hear, you know, people and what they feel and what they think from other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, we got more than one person out there who has the chutzpah to make his feelings known.
Yes. Now, Jim, I would like to shift gears a little bit, but this pertains to what we're talking about in our closing moments of the show tonight. We've had a couple of mentions now of the United Galactic Federation. Okay, there is a reality around this planet and within this planet as well that there are beings from other realms here. And this has been the biggest secret kept from us, and yet people have written books about it. They've made movies about it. They do TV shows about it in an attempt to give us the impression that it's just fantasy. Okay? This financial issue we're talking about is no more fantasy or no less fantasy than the reality of a federation of 575 planets now that have taken an interest in what's going on here on the Earth. They have invited us through our so-called, our alleged leaders, to become a part of that, but not that we're ready, but that we have to take certain steps. And while I was working on my website today, I added a postscript to a piece that I had written April 24th of 2008. I had received some photographs from the Federation, and I began publishing those on my website. And then I got a call from space on May 29th. You were on that show.
I remember.
Of last year. And we got an accounting of the requirements and things that are going on and some feedback about this show and the message we're putting out. And I decided to write a postscript, and I'd like to read that to the listeners. It's on my website. On my news page, from a piece I wrote called The Beginning of the End of the Cover-Up. And I feel that this is an important issue because we're not alone in this fight. It's not just us. We have the rest of the universe paying attention to what's going on here. And that's a reality that we have to wake up to. Anyway, I wrote a postscript early today, and it goes something like this. In fact, it goes exactly like this. In an obvious intelligence agency-sponsored effort to discredit this author, meaning me, and impugn his reputation amongst his peers, a series of emails has been received by this author and his associates in the research community. The emails have been tracked, and the perpetrators have been identified. These are remarkable. There are remarkable similarities within the text of each email, including the sender's concerns that the photographs of Planet Valkyrie are not genuine and, in fact, have been lifted from a photographic website posting made by one Piotr Taborek. The emails continue to express dismay that this author has perpetrated a fraud against humanity, and so the sender has become disappointed and or disillusioned by the author's actions. The remarkable truth about these slanderous, unsolicited emails is that they reference the alleged stolen photos by a catalog number, as if this author devotes his time searching the internet for clandestine, untraceable photographs in the pursuit of copyright infringement and or perpetrating a hoax upon humanity. Actually, the aforementioned photos have been lifted from this website, meaning my website, directlightproductions.com, backdated to 2006, and modified using Photoshop techniques. One particular photo is purported to represent Mount Fuji. A simple examination of pictorial representations, both photographic and videographic, of Mount Fuji reveals that it looks nothing like the volcano photos from planet Balqui. Forensic examination of the plagiarized photos actually proves that they have been plagiarized and that the senders themselves are involved in perpetrating conspiratorial fraud and highly dependent on your ignorance of simple facts. The emails are primarily traceable to Canada and Southern California and come from a variety of sources, one being from the Department of Forestry and Agriculture in Canada, another from Cal State Irvine, and several others with associations to NASA. The senders will be identified in a future exposé by this author and fellow researcher Ken Adachi, one of the email recipients. This is but another example of our tax dollars at work. Since the truth itself cannot be attacked, the perpetrators, acting on behalf of the many alphabet agencies they parasitize, have determined that attacking the messenger is their only alternative. These evil minions reveal their true nature and their desperate, pathetic existence whenever engaged in character assassination. So great are their fears that the masses will learn the truth about any topic, especially when they themselves profit from the ignorance of others. It is obscene that these charlatans profit from the taxation of humanity, all while professing to hold the secrets of the universe in their puny little brains. Rest assured that they will be exposed for the frauds that they are. All will be revealed, and soon. In the meantime, we'll let them sweat a little. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, it's a pretty incredible and right down to the bare bones truth of what's going on. And the only thing I can say is the very closing sentence is the most exciting one for me. I certainly hope it's all revealed and very, very soon. And you know, I'd also like to interject one other thought, Don, and that is that people are always afraid of change, especially when it affects what they perceive as the tranquility of the status quo. There is nothing all that wonderful about our life, the way it's being managed and utilized at present. And these changes are going to come about whether people like it or not. But what we should remember is that there's always discomfort before things get better. And when people really understand what's been done to them, and for how long this has been going on, I think that they will realize that the phrase hell on earth is not an exaggeration. And it's time for that to change.
Yes, I agree. And I thank you for allowing me to indulge in some prose that I composed today. Just to, while reposting an old article, I felt it was appropriate to add that on the basis of what has transpired since I first began publishing those photos. And there will be more, trust me. We've done our homework already. And it's just another dimension of the same fraud being perpetrated upon the whole of humanity. And their biggest fear is being found out. Really is. It's just being found out. That's their biggest fear. And I congratulate the Chinese for having the courage to do what they're doing. I may not agree with all their policies, but certainly I have to agree, along with Ron Paul, that an audit was necessary of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. And let's continue on, folks, with the banks and the brokerage firms and the insurance companies and all the public agencies across this nation. Spare no one in that regard, because they're all involved in the fraud, and they know it. And the cat's out of the bag, so let's just get down to business and fix it. They won't. We will. Jim, your closing comment before I say goodnight.
Well, the only thing I'd like to add to all of that, Don, is the fact that I have a suspicion, and maybe you'll agree with this, that the new financial system and the new philosophy, which has been launched and which is now attempting to implant itself globally, may very well be the result of some enlightened people around the planet who have decided that it's time for us to join the Federation, and maybe they are taking the first steps in that direction. And if that's the case, I certainly applaud their efforts.
Well, you may very well be right in that assumption or that deduction, whatever you want to call it. I thank you for your usual fantastic input and wisdom and knowledge. And I look forward to next week's show as well. Here we are upon another month. Can you believe that?
Yeah, time is just whistling by, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I wish you a great weekend, Jim, and thank you for your contribution to Heaven and Footprints, and look forward to next week.
Thank you very much, Don. I look forward to it also.
All right. You have a good night. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Heaven and Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, our weekly guest on Fridays, my co-host and our resident science advisor, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying this show. Also, I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Those of you who are interested in subscribing to the Evident Footprints archives at BBS Radio, you will be very surprised to know that Doug Newsom, our editor, has been working feverishly to get show descriptions up there, and I have to personally thank him for that. He may not be aware how much I'm working on my own site at the time being, but I'm appreciative of that, and you can peruse the archives. For a nominal fee, you can download all the archives at BBS Radio for a whole year. It's worth every penny, so consider that if you would, please help us defray bandwidth costs. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom for the sound tonight. And I want to thank Rodney for his call. And you in the listening audience, I wish everyone a wonderful weekend. Join us again next week. We've got great shows lined up for the coming month. And I wish you a great weekend. In the meantime, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.